This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Can I interest you?
Yes.
In the best player in the NFL draft?
Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you could interest me in Travis Hunter.
Let's talk about how to get him then, right here in Dallas.
How much better is he than Abdul Carter, do you believe?
I think he's significantly better.
Okay, now, what if he was only a corner?
I'm talking about him as only. I'm only going to play him at one position. Maybe some other mix in there, but I think he's, as a corner, he's better to me. I think so.
Better as a corner than Abdul is
as a pass rusher.
Yep. Sure. Okay.
I think Travis Hunter's going to be a superstar. I think he's fantastic. And we're going to talk about how to get him here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. That's a first-class buying experience. All right. So over at NFL.com, Chad Reuter has 6 win-win first-round trades that teams should make. Okay? So they talk about, you know, he goes through the history of just different trades of like, hey, these have worked out for everybody. The classic one for me growing up that people used to say was a win-win after like 2 years was they were like, huh, one of those rare trades that worked out for everybody when the Rangers got Michael Young and the Tampa Bay or the Toronto Blue Jays got Esteban Loaiza. And that was back when Loaiza was like kind of good.
He had a weird career.
He had 1 year where he popped and he started the All-Star game.
That was he was in the White Sox that year,
yeah,
right?
But I would take Michael Young any day of the week to get.
Yeah,
I would give up every day. But at the time, everybody's like, "Oh, what a great trade! It worked out for everybody." These are ones that are supposed to work out for everybody, and we'll get to the Cowboys trade here in just a second. These are draft trades. I want to see how you think this might shake up the landscape a little bit, Chop. First one, the Arizona Cardinals receive 13th overall pick in round one from the Dolphins, and they get a 4th round pick in exchange for 16 and 78. So why would the Dolphins trade away the 13th pick and a 4th rounder for just 3 spots down in the 3rd? They say that the Cardinals trade for Paris Johnson 2 years ago displayed their willingness to pay a price to improve their offensive line. In this scenario, they jump ahead of Indianapolis and other teams to pick up a big-time offensive line prospect. Miami possesses 7 day 3 selections, so sending one of them to Arizona to secure a day 2 pick seems reasonable. So you got that there. The Green Bay Packers trade their first round pick 19 to the Buccaneers, which is 23. They flip with the Bucs and get a day two pick out of that in the 3rd round. He's also got the Bills trading out of the 1st round almost back to Minnesota, giving up the 24th pick for the 30th and 2 4th rounders. Why would Minnesota give that up and come up there for? What would that be for? Well, they say that the Vikings, as they look at things right now, they enter the draft with just 4 picks, including after last year their trade for edge rusher Dallas Turner. So this would be an opportunity for them to jump back a little bit, collect some capital, let the Bills move up, make a move for a corner, something like that. Then get to the Dallas Cowboys. In this pick, the Dallas Cowboys receive pick number 20. Well, that's not for Travis Hunter.
No.
No, it wouldn't be. Cowboys move back to the Broncos for pick number 20 and pick number 51, a second rounder. Okay? So they're giving up 12. They're giving up a fifth rounder, 149. First and a fifth to the Broncos to get number 20. You go down eight spots, and then you get number 51. So you get the Broncos second round pick. Now you have two second round picks. You've made up for the Mingo trade. You do those things. He writes that the Cowboys move down for the third time in 5 years if running back Ashton Jeanty is not available when Dallas is on the clock. At number 12, the Cowboys landed Micah Parsons after trading with the Eagles and last year grabbed Tyler Guyton after a swap with Detroit.
I love trading down, by the way.
Yeah.
Big fan of it.
Me too. The Cowboys could stand pat and just stand in and pick Golden or Tet McMillan at 12, but a mid-second round selection may be enough to induce a drop down the board. Matthew Golden from Texas, or Emeka Egbuka could be available
Ohio
at number
State,
20.
Right?
Yep. As could another well-regarded back in Omarion Hampton. I'd be in favor of the move in this instance to pick up the extra second, especially if I knew I was going to get Golden. Egbuka's a good player. He reminds me, when I was comparing notes and trying to figure out what I might be able to see in terms of, after I looked at my notes and I compared it to other notes I've had in other players, I was trying to see who's similar, where does this match up a little bit. The guy he reminded me of, honestly, from when he was coming out of school was Cooper Kupp. It was the same kind of player to me, where maybe there's some questions about long speed, but a really good technician who plays in the slot, is a bigger slot, and has some route running ability to get open. To me, I think he would be a great pickup if you could move back those spots, pick up the extra second round pick. I would absolutely take that any day of the week. But that's just to pick up extra draft capital. What if you want to say, you know, I'd like to
get rid of my draft capital.
I'd like to swing for the fences, baby. I want to go up. I want to do this. I want to sacrifice it all and make a move.
Last time the Cowboys traded up.
Oh, gosh. That would have been, trying to think if they've made the one that stands out is when they did it in 2012 and they went up and got Morris Claiborne.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I don't think they've done it other way. They traded up to get, not in the first round, they traded up to the top of the second to get DeMarcus Lawrence.
Did they not trade back into the first round to get Travis Frederick?
No, they moved down. No, they jumped way back on that one is what they did.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so you've already, you got a lot of things that you got to replace, okay? But Daniel Jeremiah floated this the other day. The idea of, you know, what if that's the big move that Jerry would like? What if he'd like to say, you know what? We're going to go get Travis Hunter. Let's make a real splash. Let's go get the best player in the draft. Let's do it. So, Tennessee, you're not going to go all the way up to one to get that pick. Let's say they go ahead, they take Cam Ward, or they trade out of it, whatever. Cam Ward goes number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cleveland goes and says, okay, we're going to take Abdul Carter. Let's go the route of Carter. Giants are sitting there, and they just go, pull the trigger, take Shador. Okay? If you can get into
New England, right, is on the clock.
New England is on the clock now. Mike Vrabel's coming in there. They got a lot of different things that they need to do. They could obviously just stand in there and pick Travis Hunter at that point. But what I would do is I would say, all right, we're going to give you 12. We'll go ahead. We'll give you the second rounder, 44. And you might at that point, what you could do is you could go 1, 2, 3. So do you want to give up 44, 76 in the first? So you have no picks on day one on the first 2 days other than to get Travis Hunter. Or do you trade your one and give New England your one next year? Would you take either of those to know, all right, I can go up and get Travis Hunter?
No, I'm not doing either one.
Why not? You solve two things.
You create more problems than you solve.
By trading next year's one? Is this their window?
What do you mean?
Like they're in a closing window right now, aren't they?
I think they're pretty much in a closed window.
You think it's closed at this point?
I think so.
Okay.
Look, you have a new head coach in here. You've got to give him a chance. You don't give him a chance. I am not going to. I'll trade up for a quarterback. I have no problem doing that. Trading up for somebody else. Like, Travis Hunter is still a coin flip, just like everybody else is.
I mean, quarterbacks are too.
Quarterbacks are too, but at least you get, you know, a quarterback could change your franchise. Travis Hunter doesn't. No other position changes your franchise. Maybe an offensive lineman, like, who solidifies the line, like Zach Martin did. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there was already Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith, and then you threw him on there, and he was obviously a Hall of Famer right from the beginning. Like, that gives you three All Pros on your line. That changes your whole franchise. But you know, no individual does that other than a quarterback for the most part. So, and it's still a risk. And then you're so far away. This team is not one player away. If the Chiefs were drafting and they said, I'm going to give up my first and second, I'm going to go get Travis Hunter, go for it. You're in your window. You're the Chiefs. If you're Buffalo, you're in your window. You don't have the Cowboys have so many holes. They can't afford to trade. They need those picks.
Agreed. But if I said Hunter's going to come in here and he's going to play corner for you and he's going to contribute at receiver in certain packages, and those are two of the areas you could argue you're most desperate for.
Yeah.
Give up the one next year. Things don't work out. If your team starts struggling, well, then you may be moving certain guys in trades anyway to try and pick capital back up.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's like you could take, let's just say he turns into Patrick Surtain or Sauce Gardner.
Okay.
I mean, and those are really, really good players. Sauce doesn't even sniff the postseason, man.
But let's say he turns into, and obviously I think he'd be a better player, but in terms of volume of contribution, it wouldn't be this. Let's say he's Sauce Gardner, and at the same time, he's Cedric Wilson for your team. Where I think he's a better player than I think he's a better player than Cedric Wilson, but in terms of the amount of contribution he'd be able to do as a part-time offensive player.
It's a valid question. It's a valid question.
And let us know on the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, what you would want to do.
Dallas window is closed until they get a QB. QBs don't change franchise without supporting cast. Not worth it to trade up. Giants are getting Hunter or Carter after getting Russ and Winston. And people were upset about the Frederick deal because they did move away from Sharif Floyd.
And you got 469 and 817 here chiming in saying what they would rather do is just, I'd rather go trade Micah for that fourth pick. Which I don't know if Micah straight up for the fourth pick does it. It might have to be Micah and like one extra thing.
You don't think Micah gets you the fourth?
Micah can get you, here's the problem.
He would get you 2-1.
It is not normal to see somebody get traded for a top five pick. You know what I mean? Like, when you make that trade, typically you're making the trade for a future first rounder that you don't know exactly where it's going to land. It's very rare to see it. Like, we don't have much history of how much can that pick get you when it's a guaranteed top five. So I think it might be a case of where you have to say, all right, it's Micah, and then it's maybe a fourth rounder. Or it's Micah and a future second, or Micah and a future third, or something like that. It may have to go that way. Maybe Micah just doesn't. Maybe that's all they care about, and they just go, we'll take the trade. But you got to remember, New England is saying, we are sacrificing the number four pick and cheap control for 5 years to walk into an expensive Micah Parsons contract.
But a guaranteed player.
It is.
As people are saying, you know, like, Hunter played on an average team against average competition. I think he's really, really good. I don't know that the competition matters, but I'm sure, I mean,
he's...
How did he do against Tet McMillan when they played?
McMillan gave him some issues at corner. Broadus always goes back to the Stanford receiver. I can't ever pronounce his name, but the Stanford receiver that's coming out, he's one that Broadus thought. That's why Brian thinks he should play receiver. I think he's a great corner. I think he's a great receiver. Like, to me, I've made this comparison before. It's Sauce Gardner at corner and Chris Godwin at receiver. That's who he is to me.
Jeez.
And I mean, Chris Godwin's a good player. Do I want Chris Godwin with the number four pick, though? Or would I take Sauce Gardner over Chris Godwin? That's the way I look at it.
Wow. B-Lo.
D-Belt.
105.3, the fan. It's Sean and RJ. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. And Peyton Russell is a young lad. A wee young lad.
Very wee.
We like to play a game with him when Sean is out. because he won't play when he's here. Although I think he is, he's coming around to the idea. And we do, we have secured a special guest, a phone friend for Peyton Russell, someone you know very, very well if you've been around the radio station for quite a long time. And we are going to do it in the 9 o'clock hour along with Brett Boone at 9:20 next on 105 Through the Family.